Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, I will make this quick because I know we're a little short on time. You have a really, I think, well-done written report this time in your packet. Several good and interesting wildlife items. One that comes to mind, I'll just mention, is this the success we're having with this Taylor's checker spot butterfly. That's interesting, and it's, but not, well, the butterfly's interesting too, but I just think the point I want to make is we have state employees that are benefiting this this animal, and we do a good job at that. And currently, on the national level, people are looking at updating the Endangered Species Act and other things, and I think that we just need to recognize that as state wildlife managers, we have the capacity to do good things for endangered species and have done them. And so you can look at that and fishers and other things that we're being proactive on in this state, and we're keeping things, making advances. So you'll notice in there a bit on wolf updates. We're going to do a little bit different job there. We have been distributing that information based on a email list. We're going to make it more available on a monthly basis to anyone who wants it. Someone asked about that earlier today, and so you should be able to get more current information on the website, and you can also sign up for a to be dinged, you know, when we have the monthly wolf updates. So that will be an improvement. I'm going to skip over some of this. On the enforcement programs, you've seen we've had some large cases that we're working on in Southwest Washington. The folks have been very busy there, and we're currently working with prosecutors on a very big case. But take a look at that one. And another interesting one on sea cucumbers and how the commercial use of that needs to be more tightly monitored and regulated. So with that, I want to spend a little bit more time on a couple areas. First off, I guess I would like to give a legislative update. You know, we have had a fee bill in the process in Olympia this winter. Not too much has moved on that. The legislature's still in session. They're in their second extended session, and we have a representative here that probably knows more about this than I do, but I know that the Senate and the House are looking at each other and working together and trying to resolve the budget issues. And I've been told that it may come down to the wire. That's sort of unfortunate from a state employee standpoint, because we have to put out a lot of notices and warn people that government may shut down, and that causes a lot of inefficiency. And so, anyway, thanks for the hard work you do. I know you're trying really hard, and I think we'll see a budget, but it's a bit challenging. But I think we'll get there. I'm not sure we'll get everything. Well, I am sure we won't get everything we wanted. That's the one thing I know. But I think we'll get some of what we wanted. So anyway, we'll see where the dust settles in July. And then we'll go back again. So that's part of the process. Monday, we're starting a catch and keep sturgeon fishery on the lower Columbia. This is significant because we haven't had that fishery for about 3 years. We have abundant age classes that we can target. We have a small slot limit. We've reduced the slot limit, and we're targeting just some fish, very conservative, but it will provide a take opportunity. There's a lot of excitement down there, and it's something that we want to, when we have the opportunity to have a fishery, we try to do it. So,
Director?
Yes, sir.
I appreciated your heads up on the retention fishery and the information that you provided. As we reviewed the fishery the past couple of years, my recollection was that the age range has always been adequate to maybe support. I mean, the recommendation has been a retention fishery. I understand it's a really popular one. The concern that I recall, and one of the reasons that I voted not to have a retention fishery, was the recruitment And has that improved? The juvenile sturgeon counts were low, and so where were we going to get the replacement in the future? And that's why I had a concern about a retention fishery. So I didn't see any information about that as this decision was made.
You know, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner, I don't have that information with me right now. Our biologists are very confident that we can have this very conservative fishery on the age class that we're targeting. I have been told that some of our sampling methods maybe don't get at the juvenile fish, and so we are underrepresenting them because we are seeing age class progression within this population. So that indicates, you know, we have some production going, but I'll get in trouble in a hurry with my lack of fisheries knowledge, so I better wait. But we can talk to fishery, and I can get that answer for you. But anyway, lots of people are very excited about that. I also asked Ron Warren a few months ago to develop work plans on some items that just I didn't feel like we were making much progress on. And I have a report in here on a couple of those items. One is the Wenatchee mitigation. We are making some good progress on that. We're working with the Quinault tribes, and I think we're having a meeting this next week, and hopefully we'll see some movement on that one. That has been an issue for about 20 years, 20-plus years, and so it would be neat to finally get a plan and make some movement and utilize that money to improve those fisheries. Another difficult issue is the Point boat launch. I wished I had better news on that one. We're continuing to plug away. We aren't giving up, and we thought we had a solution, but that fell apart. And we're back at it. I think we're going to meet again here in the next few days to talk about that one. An item I want that I think that the folks here in the room will probably be pretty interested in is the movement of spring chinook. And this is a very busy graph. And before I look at this one, is there another one, Tammy?
Yeah, it's the next one down.
Yeah, let's look at the next one first. This has this has been the latest timing-wise, the latest spring chinook movement on the Columbia River, I think, that we've documented. And so this is this year's information, and the graph on the left is the numbers that corresponds with the bars. The line is river flow on the right-hand side. And you can see that at Bonneville, it's been hovering just below 450 CFS, which is, if you look out the window of the motel here, you see a lot of water moving by, including huge logs and everything else. And the water's been very cold, and lots of it. And an interesting thing here to me was, if you go back in time prior to May 14th, you'll see that the river levels declined and we got quite a bunch of fish made a move. As soon as the river peaked back up to 450, it shut off again. When it declined again, we got another little peak, and then now the run's declining again. The original run forecast was for 160,000 spring chinook at the mouth. That has been revised. It was revised down on May 15th to 83,000. It's since been revised up because of this kind of continual movement of fish to 118,000, I think. And then the next update will be on June 5th. So I believe Idaho opened a season yesterday. Someone told me that. I don't know if that's the case, or they took another look at it. Currently, with that 118 adult run size and the ESA limits that we have, the catch balance for non-treaty fisheries would be 9,794 fish, 7,764 fish to date have been taken, or impacts have been taken, and so that leaves a couple thousand impacts remaining. And so there could be a fishery yet on the upper snake and the upriver fisheries. And so we'll wait and see. Because of the catch sharing, I think where we're at right now, the tribes need to initiate a fishery, and then we could initiate a fishery. So we'll know more about that later. But I think Chris Donnelly, your fish manager from over here, will be around shortly. I haven't seen him yet, unless he's snuck in. But we can get some maybe more information later in the day to talk about the possibilities of opening and or having a little bit more fishery. There's been was some discussion. Oregon had okayed if the run came in, they had okayed the idea of a tangle net fishery in the lower river commercial fishery. That's not going to happen this year. So, and Washington, you did not want to have a tangle net fishery anyway because of the way the run came in. That's not going to happen. Tammy, can we go back to that other graph? And it's such a mess, it's hard to see, but I wanted to show you it if I could. And if this is just too much, then we'll...
Is that out of focus?
That's what we can get.
Anyway, if you see the black line, that's this year, and the black graphs correspond with, or not the black graphs, these
bars.
Bars.
The lighter colored bars are for 2017, black bars, excuse me, yeah, up here. So here's that peak I showed you on the other just 1 year, and then here it is again. And the interesting thing to me is we start counting summer Chinook on the 15th, so that's why that it's projected the run come in a little bit higher, because it's, as you can see, it's holding higher than it has, so they're coming in later. 2012 was the last big water year that we have. That's in the blue and the blue bars, and you can see the interesting relationship to me with the increased fish movement with just the decline in water flow. And there's a temperature relationship there, but certainly this big flow year has really kegged fish up. Our early season indicators, where we got to that, confirmed or supported that higher 160 number. The catch per unit effort and test fisheries in the lower river confirmed that there were quite a few fish there, but this high water just hasn't allowed them to move. And you know, people speculate that they have a hard time finding the ladders or whatever, but it's pretty impressive to see the amount of water, what 450,000 cubic feet looks like. If you get a chance to go down the Columbia, it's pretty darn amazing there at Portland. So anyway, with that, before I get in trouble and outside of my knowledge base, I'll leave this, but some really interesting relationships. This graph's too busy unless you can look at it on paper and really study it, but this whole idea of river flows and fish movement and history of timing is really fascinating to me, and as a fisherman myself, it's pretty amazing. So anyway.
Thanks for that, Director. There's one other issue, too, and I don't want to test your knowledge on this. Maybe I'll talk with Chris Donnelly. But there's another concern, I think, also for these high discharge levels, and that is en route loss. I mean, these fish expend a lot of energy and just holding, fighting this this discharge, and I know on the Fraser River, where similar big system in Canada, there is strong correlation between en route loss, pre-spawn mortality, that is, I mean, fewer fish to the spawning grounds. So that's another kind of concerning thing that that I think everybody needs to have in mind. I don't know if they can quantify it necessarily, but still an issue of concern.
Thank you. Any other?
Yes. Just a question for Bob. Does that have to do with the sockeye primarily?
Yeah, it does have to do with sockeye, but I do think there is some...
There is impact that sockeye really suffer, particularly in warmer water temperatures. Thank you for that, Bob.
And I'll try and be really vague about this, but on the top of your report, the landowner of the year, after the report we'd received a couple, 3 months ago, that one would leave one shaking his head. On the Cowlitz River.
Oh. Well, this was a different...
No, we don't even need to go down that road. I'm just going to say that that would leave me shaking my head.
All right. Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
With that, just a couple other quick items for the commission. We did enter into a MOA with the Tulalip Tribe on enforcement last week. The MOA itself deals with communication and how laws will be enforced on tribal members within the reservation and on their UNA lands, and how we will concentrate on non-tribal members and how we'll share information. So it's a good move in the right direction. So.
And I've seen the correspondence back and forth. Has there been any further with the group that was concerned about the MOA?
Yes, there has. I've contacted several of them personally, and we're going to hold a public meeting and talk to them. It's a broader issue than just resource issues, right, with some of those folks.
Yeah.
Let's see. Finally, there's also, you've seen in the news maybe a news release on, or a news item on black bears and how we handle black bear depredation on timberlands. We've developed a response for that, and I think you're going to get a copy of that today. So I just wanted to make you, the whole commission, aware of that. The Wildlife Committee saw some of that information this morning. But not only are elk a challenge from a wildlife landowner challenge or problems, but black bears are, as are mountain lions and deer, and wherever you're at, there's conflict problems, and we do our best. I was thinking about our conversation this morning and all of you all. I started my career with Idaho in Kamiai in 84, and so I worked there for several years, and it was almost like being in a time machine. Heard this exact same thing from the Weipe area 30 years ago when they started growing canola, actually, when they first kind of started was in the early 80s. And very interesting. And but we can solve this problem. We'll have to work together on it, and we'll make some progress. So with that, thank you, and I'll...
Thank you, Director.